last Sunday was amazing. We had a breakthrough Sunday, and the atmosphere in the room was tough last Sunday when we started to worship, and it was like we were hitting a wall. And to be very, very honest with you, I sat there and I thought, okay, I can't preach to this. It's too hard in here. And so I decided that when I was getting ready to stand up and to preach, I was going to say, hey, people, we need to change the atmosphere. And we were going to pray through it. But before that happened, Alan decided he was going to change the atmosphere in the room. And so he just began to pray. He just stopped and began to pray. And then as he began to pray, that prophetic thing came on him and it got strong and he began to break things in the room and you felt a breaking, then began to prophesy and the whole service broke out in a different direction. And interestingly enough, my sermon, the title of my sermon was Atmospheric Conditions. Atmospheric Conditions. Because you see, God sort of demonstrated to us, like we had an object lesson on what the sermon's about. So now I get to teach it after the fact, but atmosphere matters. And several years ago, Cammie and I were going to this event. Gideon Stanley was having a big meeting at this center over here in Unshackled Ministries, and Cammie and I were on our way, and Easy said, y'all might need to take an umbrella with you. He goes, it looks like we're gonna have some heavy rain. So we took an umbrella with us because he usually knows what he's talking about when he tells me that kind of stuff. And we got out at 10 o'clock and there was no rain. And Cammie came to my house and visited a while, and at midnight she left and there was no rain. But during the night, I heard exactly what Easy had warned us about. Heavy rain was pounding on my roof. How did he know? Because certain atmospheric conditions produce certain effects. And he saw the conditions ahead of time. He could look at the sky and he goes, look at that over there. That means we're probably going to have rain in about 3 hours. I can look over there and it looks like colors and stuff to me. I mean, a little fluffy cotton balls. I mean, I don't even know what I'm looking at. But he can look at it and tell me what's going to happen later. The scientific study of atmospheric conditions is called meteorology. But most of us go about our daily life and we pay very little attention, especially me, to the barometric pressure. You know, Easy, like, you give Easy a hurricane chart, and during hurricane season, that man is happy. Like he likes tracking that stuff, and I'm like, okay, you and your hurricane map, y'all have fun. And most of us, or some of us, we don't know if there's any pressure in the Gulf. We don't know if there's a cool front in Alabama. Anybody know where the cool front's coming from? And so these things we take little notice of, but yet they have a great effect on our life. Alan's family was here some years ago, and it was really good weather, and had it been pouring down raining for the 4 or 5 days they were here, it would have changed the whole vacation. It would have changed the visit. Trying to get all those adults and all those kids in and out of the car and to the zoo and in and out of restaurants, and it would have changed the quality of their trip, right? If it was downpouring the whole time instead of sunny weather. The atmospheric condition makes a difference in what we're experiencing. You talk to any bride who's getting ready to have an afternoon wedding outdoors, and her special day can be very affected by the weather. I mean, I remember Jim and Steph about to say I do, and we're all running, okay? And Easy's like, wait, you have to say I do. And we got it in there, you know? And so the weather can have make a difference. Atmosphere is defined in the dictionary as the air. You are the air I breathe. I breathe you in, Lord. It's defined as the air or climate in a specific place. And it's also defined as a surrounding influence, an emotional environment or attitude. Court talked about we change the atmosphere with our worship. A surrounding influence, an emotional environment or attitude. And so there's truth in that saying, sometimes your attitude affects your altitude, you know, that little canned phrase that we sort of overlook. In a home, a woman can create an environment, an atmosphere that can be felt, Order or the lack thereof, the decor, a fragrance, an odor. You come into a home, it has a rank smell. It's sort of affects how people interact. They want to get out of there. Sharp words or kind words create a feeling. One time, Cammy was recovering and we were doing shifts, taking care of her, some of us women in the church, and she was recovering from a surgical procedure. And so I took my turn and I was there several hours and I made sure she was fed and the counters were wiped and everything was clean. And there was a lot of order in the house and the little prescriptions were all lined up. And then Court came in to sub, you know, she was the next shift. And Court came in and she lit candles and brought flowers and and made it beautiful. And then she put on some soothing music and then she started to brush Cammy's hair and I felt like such a failure. You know, like, oh my God. While I was here, it was clean, but Court created a very different atmosphere, a very different atmosphere of soothing and healing and nurture. And so what you do a certain decor can bring peace and order. Wrong words can bring tension. Alan walked into our house many, many years ago at the other house, and Easy and I had like a little discussion about 20 minutes earlier, a little heated discussion. And then Alan was going to come over. We knew at a certain time. So we shut up, and he was in one room, and I was in another room, and nobody was saying anything when Alan walked in. I mean, there was nothing to be heard, okay? And Alan just walks in the door, and he sat down at the breakfast room table, and I was sitting there, and Easy was in another room, and sat there a minute, he goes, I got to get out of here. And I go, what? He goes, I don't know. It doesn't feel right in here. Oh, something about our words was still lingering in the air. And it made him not feel that restfulness, that peacefulness that he wanted to feel. And he wanted out of there. And so you can change the atmosphere by what you say or choose not to say. You can protect the atmosphere by what you allow into it, by what you allow into the atmosphere. There's certain things I don't want in my house. See, I don't allow that here because it changes the atmosphere. And some people need to be healed of the effects of a negative environment that they grew up in. See, they grew up in a spirit of negativity and in a certain environment, an atmosphere that was filled with fear maybe, or an atmosphere that was filled with tension. And it caused emotions and feelings in them as children that stay with them when they become adults. So they can walk even in a good atmosphere, but they don't feel safe because it's not even around them now, but it's in them. So you got to get it out of them. And so an atmosphere is something you can take into you and it can affect you. Now we're talking about atmosphere. So it's not just a nice, you know, when we say atmosphere, it's a nice ambiance at it's a lovely restaurant. It's candlelight and flowers. You know, it's how I romance my girlfriend. No. See, atmosphere is affecting you every day. There's an atmosphere in worship. There's an atmosphere when you walk into a church service. There's atmosphere at a home. There's atmosphere at your work. I know a woman who one time said that she had this boss who was always griping, always mad, always grumpy. And so she started to pray at night. And she'd speak words of life and love over him. And she'd come in the morning with something good on her tongue. And she began to change the atmosphere in her office environment by what she said. Because she was planting seeds of the fruit of the Spirit instead of the seeds of the demonic tension that was on his life. So it's a surrounding influence, an emotional environment, the air or climate of a place. You can go to some places and there's an atmosphere of faith. You can go to Kenneth Hagin's Prayer and Healing School and people just get healed there because they just believe for the impossible and there's not doubt and it becomes normal to believe for the impossible there. They've created an atmosphere of receptivity for the miracles of God. In the home, a husband can walk in the door and he can tell if it's a cold front or going to be chilly tonight or warm. He can predict how the evening will go by what he feels in the atmosphere when he walks in the door. Kids can walk in from school and they can see mom and they can know if there's a high pressure or low pressure. And they can predict if they're going to get to do what the thing they wanted to ask for, right? Because they watch mom and they see the atmosphere that's already there. And so what I want you to get hold of today is this. In the natural, it's true that each type of weather pattern and each type of storm forms under certain conditions. And understanding the preceding condition is our key to predicting the end result. But so it is in the Spirit. So it is in the spirit. You know, earlier somebody was saying something and it reminded me of the fact that about old believers. The hardest to teach are the ones who've been there the longest. You know, last week, a few people had been to a conference, the Jesus Conference. And you know, at the conference, here's the deal about the conference. I can predict that people are going to come away and say, boy, the services were great, you know, because everybody who goes is expecting. Everybody who goes can't wait to get there. They paid good money to get there. And everybody who goes, you know, they want to be there. New believers, every service they go to, they want to be there. They come expecting. They can't wait to get there. Old believers in church, do we come expecting? Do we really want to be there? See, this morning I'm like, oh, I wonder what songs we're going to sing this morning. Oh, God, I just can't wait for worship. See, or are we just like, oh, it's church. Oh, we got to get there. See, you bring atmosphere with you. When we go, bring it. Well, see, what are you bringing? Okay. What are you bringing? See, if you bring that old sour resentment in, you're bringing it into our meeting. If you bring anger in, you're bringing it in here. Now, Alan can overcome just about any atmosphere, to be quite honest, most of the time. And our worship team, sometimes it's incredible what they have to overcome. What would it be if they didn't have to overcome anything? Because you too bring the same thing they bring. And we're all going to press in together and worship God with all of our hearts. Talk about an experience of God. Talk about the manifest presence of God in the room. Because see, it's not just one or two or five or seven. It's everybody in one accord. Talk about the upper room. See, those people were in one accord. See, they were all expecting. They were all looking for something. They were in agreement. And so God was always there. I heard a little young preacher this morning saying, you know, there's something different about the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. The omnipresence, God was already in the upper room. He was already there. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But when he came with tongues of fire, there was a difference. And there's a manifest presence of God that we can tap into. But it takes an expectation and a one accord. And so certain atmospheric conditions are predictors of the end result. And if we're wise, we will start being proactive, taking responsibility quickly for attitudes and emotions that will either sabotage us in the spirit or contribute to victory in the things of the Lord. We can take responsibility. There are things God wants to do and we can sabotage God. Yes, we can. We can sabotage God. Whew, that's a tough power to have, isn't it? Or we can enhance the things of God. And we can so cooperate with him that he calls us his co-laborers. We can work with God. And he can work in us and we can work alongside him. If we notice certain indicators in the spiritual atmosphere, we can capitalize on it if we're wise. But on the other hand, if we notice something amiss in the spiritual atmosphere, we can correct it. If we notice something amiss on us or in us, correct it. And then we can avoid a lot of problems. Matthew 16, 2 and 3. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing him asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. You hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the sign of the times? Luke 12:54. Then he said to the multitudes, now not just the Pharisees and Sadducees like the former scripture, but now he's talking to all. He said to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather. And there is. But hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? This time. See, how is it you do not discern what I'm doing, he's saying. How is it you do not discern what I'm trying to tell you? How do you not discern? You can look at all these signs and you can see what's going on in the natural, but why are you so dull in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural? Can you not discern this time? And so I say to you, church, there are times and seasons in the things of God. And the sons of Issachar were wise because they understood the times. And you need to always understand, what is God doing right now? Where is he wanting to bring us right now? So that you can position yourself to cooperate with it. Jesus is saying, pay attention to what I'm doing. So you can position yourself for where I'm headed. for where I'm headed. See, if I know I'm going to this destination, I might prepare differently than if I'm going to this destination. Different churches even have different assignments. They have different assignments. There's an assignment on this church, revival. There's an assignment on this church, a healing revival. There's an assignment on this church, a manifest presence of God with intense worship that changes the lives of people. See, we've got to position ourselves for that because that's where he's headed here. It's all over the Bible, cause and effect. If you do this, I'll do that. I want to do this, but you've got to do that for me to do this. Cause and effect. In Genesis chapter 11, there was a group of people that unknowingly positioned themselves for great success. They got into a place of one mind and one accord. The Bible says this about them. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Whoa. Nothing that they proposed to do was going to be withheld from them. The only way they would be stopped was to get them confused, to cause them not to be on the same page, to cause them not to understand one another or to get into discord. And so really, God had to confuse their languages because what they were doing was not what he wanted. But yet, just because they were in agreement, they could have done it. In James 3:16, the Bible is clear that where envy and selfishness exist, there's confusion in every evil work. There's an atmosphere that can create success. There's an atmosphere that can ensure defeat. The place of agreement is always the place of power. Jen kept talking about agreement, agreement. See, that doesn't even mean corporately sometimes. First of all, guess what? You got to agree with God. You got to be in agreement with God, so that you're not double-minded in yourself before you can get in agreement with your brother. So first you agree with him, then you get in agreement with your brother, then you can begin to take on corporate agreement. Offense in an atmosphere, doubt in an atmosphere can create an atmosphere that even Jesus can't work in. And you're like, no, Jesus can do anything. He can. There's exceptions to every rule. I get that. But by and large, watch this. Because you want to say Jesus can work in the midst of any atmosphere. He can, but why make it tough on him? Really, are we trying to go, all right, let's see what you can do, but we're going to resist. You know, Easy was in a meeting many years ago. We used to travel 2 to 3 weekends a month. He would minister somewhere. He'd call out words of knowledge. You know, people would get healed. And there's this guy over on the wall, arms laying against the wall, just sort of looking real skeptical. Easy's calling out words of knowledge, and he's just standing like, let me size this guy up. And somebody else said, yes, my wrist feels better. It's healed. And he's looking like, maybe. You know, like there's skepticism all over him. Like, he should just had it printed across his forehead. I don't believe this. And so Easy looks over him. He goes, you, sir, with your arms folded against the wall. He goes, you don't believe this, do you? And the guy goes, actually said no. And turns out he was a coach at the college. And so Easy goes, step away from the wall, sir, stand out here. So the guy stepped away, and the guy's about where John is, and the wall's back there, and Easy's about where I am, and he goes, God, now. And the guy falls over, is on the floor. And he looks a little stunned, like, maybe I didn't brace myself well, I don't know what's going on. And so he goes, Easy said, go ahead and get him up. And so he got up, and he goes, you okay? And the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, God, again. And the guy goes down. Okay. The guy was in such disbelief. His atmosphere wasn't right, but Easy's atmosphere of faith overruled the guy's atmosphere of skepticism. I get it. Okay. I get it. So don't come to me with your like examples of how this won't always work. But the truth is, in the Bible, we have an account. Let's go to Mark chapter 6 real quick. Let's go to Mark 6 verses 1 through 6. Mark 6, verses 1 through 6. New King James is what I'm reading out of, verses 1 through 6. This is talking about Jesus. He went out from there. He came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Now watch this, 3b. This is 3b. We skip over it. And they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Now, usually we don't notice that. And they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. We quote that a lot. Among his own relatives and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because, what if God marveled at you, how bad you were about something? I am just marveled at your selfishness. I am just marveled at your ignorance. See, he marveled at their unbelief. Okay? And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. And usually we center on a prophet is without honor, and he marveled at their unbelief, and he could do no mighty miracles there. But we skip over, and they were offended at him. They were offended at him. The word in the Greek is skandalizomai. They took offense, is what it means. It's not like a word where they just threw offense in. It really didn't mean offense. Because sometimes that can happen about the translation. But they did take offense. They were offended at him. And he could not do much there because where there is offense in the midst of a church, God can't work. Because offense will then cut your faith. And so if people aren't getting along with one another, that can make a difference. I've heard people say, our church was going great. It was just growing and everybody was happy. We started a building program, and I mean half the church left. People were getting offended at one another. I don't know what was going on because the enemy wants to stop things. So he will start planting little things, little seeds of offense and doubt and tension and contention in people to stop any work of God. Because even Jesus, once they were offended at him, he could do no mighty works there, not just because of their unbelief. The offense came first. So we've got to guard our hearts with all diligence because doubt and offense and I just don't get them and I don't feel a part of everything. I'm just offended in general. You know, I just don't feel a part of everything. She said hello to three people and just looked right past me. And, you know, I've had people say, I counted how many times you said hello to other people versus me. I'm like, whoa. Wow, am I under the gun? I got people counting my actions and I'm just like, woo. This is tough, you know, like, but see, who needs to change? I need to start, hello, 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 hello. Or do they need to change? You know, does offense need to get out from them? Because, you know, if you got an offense magnet in you, it pulls everything to itself. These kind of things will disable a move of God. I'm not getting to do what I want to do. Do they really appreciate me? You know, just generalized offense. You bring it in the atmosphere. High pressures, low pressures, cool fronts, cold fronts. They all predict what's coming in the natural, but so do they in the spiritual. In this place, there's a high pressure time that we're always entering into, but I've watched it, and it's like, can we maintain that high pressure so that we can get to the real end result? Are we just gonna enjoy the high pressure? That Sunday, whoa, just lifted me off the air, but then next week I'm gonna come in all like, okay. I'm tired today. You know, we stayed up too late. The kids had too much sugar and she was gripey and, you know, like car had a flat. And so we lose it. And the intention of God never gets fulfilled because we're no longer co-laboring with him. And so he brought it. See, he brought it, but we brought what destroyed it. And so we've got a part to play in this. We have got a part to play in this. There's a prophetic atmosphere in this place that I think sometimes is unparalleled. You know, people go, I'm going to fly to Bethel and have a prophetic conference. Come to RPM, any RPM, you know what I mean? Come, if you're a visitor, if Cammie's here, you got a prophetic conference. Like, you know, it's like people are always running after something, but there's a prophetic atmosphere. And see, there's a reason for that. Because God wants to do something, but you've got to protect the atmosphere that he's given you and not become so familiar with it that you sort of despise it because we tend to despise what's familiar and not value it and not count it as precious, but it's precious and it's not all that normal and it's rare. And so you need to value what God values in our midst. And so we can be on a roll and there can be a momentum building in the spirit and you can have a unity that can be felt, but all it needs to stop it is about a couple people coming in with an ugly cold front. And you know, somebody gets irritated with somebody and somebody starts acting a little standoffish and somebody doesn't trust somebody and the cool front turns to the cold front. And I'll be honest with you, some people carry more weight in the spirit than others. If you've been given any type of leadership, If you've been given any role in your church, what you bring on you carries more weight than just the visitor who comes in with a grudge or, you know, the couple who comes every once in a while and they're fighting, okay? Like, it can be felt on you. There's some people, they're not here today. I noticed their absence because they're such worshipers. I felt the difference in worship. And so people, you make a difference. That's the point. You make a difference. What kind of difference are you gonna make? There's the question. And so the atmospheric pressure that we can exert can make a difference in the whole of the place. John Maxwell, I told you a few months ago, has that policy where he talks about the policy that some top coaches have, where they won't put a negative player in with a positive player on the road because the negative player always sort of gets on the positive player. It's not the positivity that becomes contagious, but the negativity. And so this works in church too, and it works at home. See, you can be all gripey and your husband can come in happy, but by the end of the night, he's gripey too, because he's sick of listening to you, you know? And so you got two gripey people, and then the kids are all fighting, and like, it spreads. It's like, oh my God, what is it? Like the measles here? And it is, because there's this effect that spreads. Or you can be the one that stops the attitudes that are not productive. And so you can change the atmosphere with love and life, or you can suck the life right out of the air. And we said, we want to breathe you in, Lord. See, we don't want to suck the life out of people. We want to breathe in the Lord and then have something that's like brings a freshness and a restoration just when people are in our presence. So you can be sucked in by a negative or an ungodly atmosphere if you're not on guard. And so I'm talking today so you'll be on guard. So you take responsibility for the atmosphere around you, the airspace around you. What are your words and your attitudes creating? What are you setting in motion? You can set things in motion by what you say and how you act. You can pray all day long. I prayed in tongues 3 hours. Oh yeah, but that real mean thing you said to her, that sort of nullified it all. And you can be real proud about your 3 hours in tongues, but what are you saying in English that makes a difference in people's life? Because if that praying in tongues didn't change you any, and didn't cause you to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, well, then why don't we set that down and just learn some other things for a few minutes? Because you're all prideful about that, but really this is the part that God's putting his finger on. And so we need to be aware that a few ugly words or a wrong attitude will have more effect on a situation than all you're praying. An ounce of obedience, my little saying, my spiritual mother, I think, said it years ago, and then I just picked it up. An ounce of obedience is worth a pound of prayer. But there is an atmosphere that I have felt in this place many times. And it's a wonderful thing. It's an anointed thing. I love it. And it's charged by Easy's perseverance and commitment to faith and Alan's amazing ability to usher us into the presence of God and you know, the fivefold ministry teaching that we have. And I've felt it many times, but I'm feeling it encroaching on us again. And so we've got a responsibility. What are we gonna do? Are we going to come like the fresh new believers, like it's at a conference? Or are we going to go like, oh, church? Yeah, it was great last week, but I don't want to go today. Okay, are we going to be true stewards of what God has brought in our midst and bring it to the place that he actually desires? Sandy McCormick, years ago, he's a I was going to say young man. He's probably 50 now. That's young to me. And he started a little app called Elements that disciples believers. He's a brilliant guy. He used to do startup companies and go in and get them straightened out when they weren't managed right. And he was on the board of directors of Easy's Love You Houston for many years. And 20 years ago, he used to come to our prayer meetings when we had the Generation Jesus things going on. And he'd go, boy, y'all. And he was an elder at a big church and a denominational church. And he'd go, God, y'all just jump into the deep end fast around here. And he wasn't used to that, you know. And then he'd keep watching. And then he goes, you know, it's like y'all have a greenhouse effect going on. A greenhouse effect. A greenhouse effect is the warming that results when solar energy, power from the sun, is trapped in an atmosphere. Can we get the power from Jesus and just trap it in here and hold on to it and say, we're not just going to have it for a Sunday or 2 weeks running or 3 weeks in a row, but we're just going to hold on to it and we're not letting go? as a mother in this house, I am purposing to protect the spiritual atmosphere of this house. Because atmospheric conditions, according to present atmospheric conditions, greater works are just ahead. According to present atmospheric conditions, greater works are just ahead. So start positioning yourself. We need more yeses. Jen gave a yes to God. Already, he started moving. He started giving her words. She's given words to me that are right on. When I went to Columbia, the word she gave me was life-changing. It was exactly what I needed to hear before I ministered to 1,000 or 1,500 people. Okay, that word was important. See, you've got to say yes. You said yes today. And I said, how do you feel now? She goes, I've released something, okay? You may not even know what it is, Clay and Terry, but whatever God had in the spirit, it's been deposited. And so everything that's deposited will bear interest. There will be a return, a yield on the investment, even in the spirit realm. And so greater works are yet ahead. But we've got to position ourselves. We've got to start confessing the words that God has given us. Start believing again and picking up those things we've let go. Like, oh, it's been a long time. No. God, it's just ahead. I don't know exactly when. Alan had a wild word last week. We're moving. In the spirit or in the natural? Well, either one would be great, but both would be awesome. Okay? I'm taking it both ways. We're moving. I don't think God would have chosen that particular phraseology just to tease us if it was just some little something. And so, do we know timing? No, we don't. But guess what? I'm going to start confessing and agreeing with God and saying what he's saying. Greater works are just ahead. You know, it's been prophesied that the latter rain will be greater than the former. And so Easy's statement to me and Cammie was, it looks like we're gonna have some heavy rain. So I say to you today, it looks like we're gonna have some heavy rain. It looks like we're gonna have some heavy rain. It looks like he's gonna rain down some stuff on us. Are you preparing yourself for the day of the rain? Are you prepared? Are you looking and you're seeing a cloud the size of a man's fist and you're going, I can't see anything yet, but it's coming. See, are you putting yourself in place for what God has said? And so, Easy, it looks like we're gonna have some heavy rain. And you said it in the natural, but God's saying it in the supernatural, and I believe it. So I don't know about you, but I believe it. So stand to your feet with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we want to be co-laborers with you. We thank you that we are heirs and joint heirs, but now we want to take another step and be co-laborers with you. We don't want to sit idly by and watch people put their foot in the river and we're just going to critique it and look at it and wonder what it's like. We're going to say we want to flow with you. We want to be in the flow of where you are. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for meeting every need in this house. I thank you, Lord, for the exponential blessings of God to flow in people's lives. I thank you that as Alan broke every lying spirit that would speak to people about themselves that would disqualify them and say they can't hear from you and they can't see what you're doing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that that stays broken, that we have open heavens, that there is a difference, that there is a freedom, Father, that we have a freedom in our private time with you, that we have a freedom daily with you. And God, then we bring that freedom into this place and there's an atmosphere, God, an atmosphere that can create an open heaven so that everything you have for us, God, shall be ours. Father, I thank you for the heavy rains. I thank you that they're coming. I thank you that you have said many times that the latter rain will be greater than the former. I thank you that you have prophesied waves of people, God, that in the water, Lord, in the waves. And so, Father, we just want to flow with you. And we say, breathe on us, O wind of God. Refresh us, O God. We breathe you in, Lord. And we thank you that we shall be responsible for the spiritual atmosphere around us. We take charge. We take responsibility for the spiritual atmosphere around us, that we are carriers of the Most High. And we shall protect the atmosphere around us and the atmosphere we bring into a place, whether that's into our home, into our workplace, or into church. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you're maturing us, God. And I thank you, Lord, for what's ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. You are dismissed.